June 2nd. Our reading in the Old Testament today will be from the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 19, verse 11, going through chapter 20, verse 13. We'll read about making wounds. Joab had to hurt David to help him. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, it says in Proverbs 27, verse 6. David's sorrow over his dead son almost cost him the kingdom. It is right to mourn, but not to the point that we lose touch with reality. We'll talk about healing wounds. It was time for the whole nation to affirm loyalty to God's chosen king, and David declared an amnesty except in certain cases. The tribes brought him back. He forgave Shimei and Mephibosheth. He rewarded Barzillai. And we'll learn about opening wounds. Intertribal jealousy appeared again, and David faced a new rebellion. Instead of using the soft answer, the men of Judah held to their rights and made the situation worse. And with that, let's begin today's reading in the Old Testament. June 2nd, 2 Samuel 19, verse 11, through chapter 20, verse 13. Then King David sent Zadok and Abiathar, the priests, to say to the leaders of Judah, "Why are you the last ones to reinstate the king? For I have heard that all Israel is ready, and only you are holding out. Yet you are my relatives, my own tribe, my own flesh and blood. Why are you the last ones to welcome me back?" And David told them to tell Amasa, "Since you are my nephew, may God strike me dead if I do not appoint you as commander of my army in place of Joab." Then Amasa convinced all the leaders of Judah, and they responded unanimously. They sent word to the king, "Return to us and bring back all those who are with you." So the king started back to Jerusalem. And when he arrived at the Jordan River, the people of Judah came to Gilgal to meet him and escort him across the river. Then Shimei, son of Gera, the man from Bahurim and Benjamin, hurried across with the men of Judah to welcome King David. 1,000 men from the tribe of Benjamin were with him, including Ziba, the servant of Saul, and Ziba's 15 sons and 20 servants. They rushed down to the Jordan to arrive ahead of the king. They all crossed the ford and worked hard ferrying the king's household across the river, helping them in every way they could. As the king was about to cross the river, Shimei fell down before him. "My lord, the king, please forgive me," he pleaded. "Forget the terrible thing I did when you left Jerusalem. I know how much I sinned. That is why I've come here today, the very first person in all Israel to greet you." Then Abishai, son of Zeruiah, said, "Shimei should die, for he cursed the Lord's anointed king." "What am I going to do with you, sons of Zeruiah?" David exclaimed. "This is not a day for execution, but for celebration. I'm once again the king of Israel." Then, turning to Shimei, David vowed, "Your life will be spared." Now Mephibosheth, Saul's grandson, arrived from Jerusalem to meet the king. He had not washed his feet or clothes nor trimmed his beard since the day the king left Jerusalem. "Why didn't you come with me, Mephibosheth?" the king asked him. Mephibosheth replied, "My lord the king, my servant Ziba deceived me. I told him, 'Saddle my donkey, so I can go with the king. For as you know, I am crippled. Ziba has slandered me by saying that I refused to come. But I know that you are like an angel of God, so do what you think is best. All my relatives and I could expect only death from you, my lord, but instead you have honored me among those who eat at your own table. So how can I complain?" "All right," David replied. "My decision is that you and Ziba will divide your land equally between you." "Give him all of it," Mephibosheth said. "I am content just to have you back again, my lord." Barzillai of Gilead now arrived from Rogelim to conduct the king across the Jordan. He was very old, about 80, and very wealthy. He was the one who had provided food for the king during his stay in Mahanaim. "Come across with me and live in Jerusalem," the king said to Barzillai. "I will take care of you there." "No," he replied, "I am far too old for that. I am 80 years old today, and I can no longer enjoy anything. Food and wine are no longer tasty, and I cannot hear the musicians as they play. I would only be a burden to my lord the king. Just to go across the river with you is all the honor I need. Then let me return again to die in my own town, where my father and mother are buried. But here is my son, Kimham. Let him go with you and receive whatever good things you want to give him. Good, the king agreed. Kimham will go with me, and I will do for him whatever I would have done for you. So all the people crossed the Jordan with the king. After David had blessed and embraced him, Barzillai returned to his own home. The king then went on to Gilgal, taking Kimham with him. All the army of Judah and half the army of Israel escorted him across the river. But the men of Israel complained to the king that the men of Judah had gotten to do most of the work in helping him cross the Jordan. Why not? The men of Judah replied. The king is one of our own tribe. Why should this make you angry? We have charged him nothing, and he hasn't fed us or even given us gifts. But there are 10 tribes in Israel, the others replied. So we have 10 times as much right to the king as you do. Why did you treat us with such contempt? Remember, we were the first to speak of bringing him back to be our king again. Well, the argument continued back and forth, and the men of Judah were very harsh in their replies. Then a troublemaker named Sheba, son of Bichri, a man from the tribe of Benjamin, blew a trumpet and shouted, "We have nothing to do with David. We want no part of this son of Jesse. Come on, you men of Israel, let's all go home." So the men of Israel deserted David and followed Sheba. But the men of Judah stayed with their king and escorted him from the Jordan River to Jerusalem. When the king arrived at his palace in Jerusalem, he instructed that the 10 concubines he had left to keep house should be placed in seclusion. Their needs were to be cared for, he said. But he would no longer sleep with them. So each of them lived like a widow until she died. Then the king instructed Amasa to mobilize the army of Judah within 3 days and to report back at that time. So Amasa went out to notify the troops, but it took him longer than the 3 days he had been given. Then David said to Abishai, "That troublemaker Sheba is going to hurt us more than Absalom did. Quick, take my troops and chase after him before he gets into a fortified city where we can't reach him." So Abishai and Joab set out after Sheba with an elite guard from Joab's army and the king's own bodyguard. As they arrived at the great stone in Gibeon, Amasa met them, coming from the opposite direction. Joab was wearing his uniform with a dagger strapped to his belt. As he stepped forward to greet Amasa, he secretly slipped the dagger from its sheath. "How are you, my cousin?" Joab said, and took him by the beard with his right hand as though to kiss him. Amasa didn't notice the dagger in his left hand, and Joab stabbed him in the stomach with it so that his insides gushed out onto the ground. Joab did not need to strike again, and Amasa soon died. Joab and his brother Abishai left him lying there and continued after Sheba. One of Joab's young officers shouted to Amasa's troops, "If you are for Joab and David, come and follow Joab." But Amasa lay in his blood in the middle of the road, and Joab's officers saw that a crowd was gathering around to stare at him. So he pulled him off the road into a field and threw a cloak over him. With Amasa's body out of the way, everyone went on with Joab to capture Sheba. June 2nd. We turn now to the New Testament. Our reading today will be from the book of John, chapter 21, verses 1 through 25. We'll learn a lot of different attributes and aspects of Jesus. We'll learn about Jesus the stranger. When Peter returned to the old life, he took 6 other men with him. Their work was in vain because the Lord was not with them. How kind he is to come to us when we've disobeyed him and have failed in our work. And we'll learn about Jesus the master. When Jesus takes charge, failure is turned into success. And the difference was only the width of the ship. You never know how close you are to victory, so admit your failure and obey what he tells you to do. He never fails. And Jesus is also the host. It took six men to drag the net, but Peter did it alone when Jesus gave the orders. We should always remember that God's commandment is God's enablement. Did the fire of coals remind Peter of his denials? Did the miraculous catch of fish remind him of his call to service? How kind of Jesus to feed Peter before dealing with him about his sins. And we'll read about Jesus the shepherd. The most important thing in ministry is loving Christ, for all ministry flows from that. Peter the fisherman was also to be a shepherd and care for the lambs and sheep. And then finally, we'll read about Jesus the Lord. By saying, "Follow me," Jesus reinstated Peter as an apostle. But Peter turned around and took his eyes off the Lord, and Jesus had to rebuke him. The next time you're tempted to meddle in somebody else's ministry, ponder Christ's words. What is that to you? You follow me. Peter followed the Lord right into the excitement of the book of Acts. And with that, let's begin our reading today in the New Testament. June 2nd, John chapter 21, verses 1 through 25. Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there: Simon, Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the Twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." "We'll come too," they all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. At dawn, the disciples saw Jesus standing on the beach, but they couldn't see who he was. He called out, "Friends, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then he said, "Throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll get plenty of fish." So they did, and they couldn't draw in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, jumped into the water, and swam ashore. The other stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 300 feet. When they got there, they saw that a charcoal fire was burning and fish were frying over it, and there was bread. "Bring some of the fish you've just caught," Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. "Now come and have some breakfast," Jesus said. And no one dared ask him if he was really the Lord because they were sure of it. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. After breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied. "You know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said. "You know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. Once more he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know I love you." Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep." The truth is, when you were young, you were able to do as you liked and go wherever you wanted to. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will direct you and take you where you don't want to go. Jesus said this to let him know what kind of death he would die to glorify God. Then Jesus told him, "Follow me." Peter turned around and saw the disciple Jesus loved following them, the one who had leaned over to Jesus during supper and asked, "Lord, who among us will betray you?" Peter asked Jesus, "What about him, Lord?" Jesus replied, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You follow me." So the rumor spread among the community of believers that that disciple wouldn't die. But that isn't what Jesus said at all. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is that disciple who saw these events and recorded them here. And we all know that his account of these things is accurate. And I suppose that if all the other things Jesus did were written down, the whole world could not contain the books. Today we're reading Psalm 120, verses 1 through 7. It's about deliverance. The familiar rhyme, "Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me," is really not always true. Words can hurt us, and the psalmist felt them keenly. Only God can deliver you from lies and their destructive power. And only God can judge the liars. Just be sure you are valiant for truth in your own life. Psalm 120, verses 1 through 7. A song for the ascent to Jerusalem. I took my troubles to the Lord. I cried out to him, and he answered my prayer. Rescue me, O Lord, from liars and from all deceitful people. O deceptive tongue, what will God do to you? How will he increase your punishment? You will be pierced with sharp arrows and burned with glowing coals. How I suffer among these scoundrels of Meshech. It pains me to live with these people from Kedar. I am tired of living here among people who hate peace. As for me, I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Proverbs 16, verses 16 and 17. How much better to get wisdom than gold, and understanding than silver. The path of the upright leads away from evil. Whoever follows that path is safe.